We're joined right now by a telephone from Northfield Schools Superintendent, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it. You had a school board meeting last night, and we've got quite a bit to discuss from that. But I tell you what, why don't we start off? We talked to you the other day about commencement. And why don't you just kind of give us an update and where we're at on that now?
Yeah, you bet, Jeff. And good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. And just at the top here, I want to just remind folks that right now our school board meeting, school board is meeting through teleconference as allowed by Minnesota Statute 13D.021. And we are now live streaming those meetings, and we post the link to the district board website usually just a day or so, a couple days before the board meeting. So as we keep going, if we keep doing meetings like this, you can follow us along at that link on the website. But yes, last week we had some difficult decisions to make with commencement. Especially, you know, with COVID-19, we all know that our lives have changed, and the decisions that we made last week were difficult, and our approach is in direct alignment with the guidance provided by the Minnesota Departments of Health and Education. They released their graduation ceremony guidance on May 8th, and they very clearly state the safest way to celebrate graduation or commencement in Minnesota this year is by having people stay home. And you know, no one wants this. You know, I want to start by acknowledging that, you know, there's disappointment in many people. There's frustration. And frankly, Jeff, there's some anger, you know, shared by 2020 parents and the soon-to-be graduates. And just, you know, so the community, our whole staff is disheartened as well about how the final quarter of our seniors' career was disrupted by this virus. And commencement is a special time for school staff as well, because we take great pride in helping shepherd kids through the 13 years that they are with us, and it's just such a joyous occasion for us as well. So we've got some plans that this will be a very memorable commencement season. We know that because it's going to be so different from everything else. We truly wish and are sorry that we can't provide this group of outstanding kids the same kind of traditional things that we do every year that are just those rites of passage in Minnesota. But we are going to be doing virtual graduations for both the Area Learning Center and Northfield High School. They'll be video streamed. The Northfield High School video, we're working with Neuger Communications to produce that video. We're still finalizing some details there based upon some of the guidance that we got from the state last week. It would be streamed on May 31st at 2 p.m. And, of course, we work with KYMN to also have you carry that as well. The Area Learning Center, they've just got so far fewer students than high school. They are working to produce their own virtual graduation video. They have a little bit of a different approach to commencement. That one will be streamed at 6 p.m. on June 5th. And I just want to share that there's a number of other events that the high school is putting together to mark the spring for our seniors. And so Principal Joel Lear shared a number of these things with families last week, and we've also shared with all families yesterday through a distance learning update that we sent out. We will be having things like senior academic awards and scholarship distribution that will be held, again, online Tuesday the 26th at 6:30. We'll be presenting over $60,000 in scholarships sponsored by community members and business entities. We have graduation, we have the Maroon and Gold Banquet coming up on May 27th. Activities Director Joel Olson is already putting that presentation together. It's going to include a lot of the normal kinds of things in terms of outstanding male and female athletes for individual and team sports, highlights of the year, and a virtual parade of champions that they typically will do. A few things that are unique. Jostens, who provides our yearbooks, they have come up with a digital yearbook signing platform. And so our understanding is students are going to be able to sign each other's yearbooks interactively using an online platform. Then people can print those results as a permanent keepsake that they can put into their yearbook. Again, not the same thing, but just another effort to try to make sure that some of these things can happen regardless of the pandemic. We're going to do a virtual lock-in. We usually have a wonderful lock-in each year for seniors, and it involves tons of prizes, and we are going to be doing that as a virtual lock-in. More details to come. We have an interesting two interesting pieces that we haven't done before that we will hopefully not have to do again, but we do not normally allow students to decorate their graduation caps. And, you know, for the first time and hopefully the only time ever, we're not only allowing students to decorate their graduation caps, we're encouraging them, and we're going to have a panel of judges who will determine various awards for the most creative decorations, and those students who win will receive prizes. We're going to be getting some, we've got a private donor who's going to be purchasing some chamber bucks, again, to keep those prizes local. So that's an exciting part. And then we are also doing something that we've not done for any other class, which is we are planning to do a class reunion for the class of 2020. We don't normally get involved in reunions. That's usually done by the class themselves. But we think it's, we've heard so clearly that people want students to be able to come back and have that last time in the building, see their teachers again, have their last meal, you know, at the school building. And so we are planning to have a class of 2020 reunion. We think it's going to be sometime in the spring of 2021. However, we are open to hosting that reunion as soon as public health guidelines permit. And we're going to do things like invite people to bring their caps and gowns and you know, have a recreation of what the commencement walk across the stage could look like. A number of different things that would still be finalized. But so those are just some of the things, Jeff, that we're doing to honor the class of 2020. And for those of you in the community who know these graduates, please just reach out to them and give them an extra layer of support.
Yeah, that a tough time for them with everything going on with the senior week and everything. You've got just to stay at home. That's definitely a tough time. We've talked about that. Where are we going to now with, as far as the education goes? Has the distance learning, give us an update on that.
Yeah, so last night with the board, what I shared was a update from a student survey that we had done a few weeks ago. We had 938 middle school and high school students respond. There were dozens of questions. I'm only going to address a couple of things. First of all, the overall adjustment that we saw for students at middle school and high school level, we asked them, what's your personal comfort with distance learning? And we asked them, are you adjusted? Are you adjusted but that you had some difficulty or you're struggling to adjust? And what we saw is, for example, 96% of sixth graders said they had adjusted or had adjusted with some difficulty. And as we get older in each building, the level of adjustment goes down slightly. But even with our eighth graders, we are at 81% of those students adjusted or adjusted with some difficulty. This was after 3 weeks. We saw that trend. Our seniors had the most difficulty adjusting, and obviously they've got the most experience in the current system. But I think the data overall, and I shared some data with you the last time, Jeff, about how we are looking at ourselves compared to some national data. Our students overall are adjusting well, but there are some challenges. When we looked at what are the things that the students rated or ranked as their biggest feelings at the moment that we served them regarding distance learning, the number one feeling overall was overwhelmed. And we shared with you last time that there were some families who were concerned about students not having enough work to do, a smaller percentage, but some nonetheless, about a quarter. But seeing that students had identified that overwhelmed is their biggest feeling, followed right away, though, by support, Jeff. So we're seeing that students are taking the new environment seriously. They feel supported, but it's different, and we know that. So this data is showing that students are making that adjustment. It's not as comfortable as we would all want it to be, though I'm going to tell you, based on a number of other conversations with our district youth council, who's been in touch with their peers throughout the state through the Minnesota Youth Council, we're feeling we're doing very well comparatively, and we have a lot of room for growth. But what the data in the student survey says is that we are really making some good progress. One thing that I thought was really interesting was, anecdotally, we had heard some concerns from students about the communication from their teachers, the consistency. But we saw large swaths of students in the middle school and high school in the 90% range in most cases, where they rated their teacher consistency and communication as very consistent or somewhat consistent. So that's just, we're always looking at how are we doing and what can we do to get better. And then we also talked just about how the end of the school year is going to look. So we are going to run our current distance learning schedule through May 29th. And May 29th will be the last day of formal instruction, Jeff. June 1st through the 5th, that last week of school, everyone who has had kids in school knows that last week of school looks very different. There are field trips. There's a lot of closing activities. The high school traditionally has a finals week, which they're not going to be having this year. And so for our elementary students during that week of June 1st, this again, there will be no formal classes that will meet that week, but our elementary teachers will be having a closing conference with every family during that week. Our middle school and high school teachers will be working diligently with students who have gotten behind. When students aren't in school, we do have a number of kids who need some additional help just to make sure they can successfully finish the fourth quarter here. And so that week, for students who have completed all their work and have everything in, there's going to be a lot less for those secondary students to do. But it's really that opportunity, Jeff, for us to make sure that we can bring everybody across the finish line, because this was an abrupt change, to say the least. And wanting to make sure that we've set up a number of safeguards. We don't think that this pandemic should adversely affect kids and their the long-term grades that they have on their transcript. So we're taking some different approaches to grading. We're making sure that last week of the school year we're using to get everybody across the finish line. And we'll also be using some time that week, Jeff, as a staff, to do a deep debrief of how did distance learning go? What are some things that we think really went really well we want to carry forward? What are some things we do differently if we have to do this again? In the military, they call this an after-action review, and that's the approach that we're looking at with it.
Boy, looking forward, the summer, you know, normally there are things like summer school and activities going on. Has that even taken any shape yet?
We're just starting to get some direction, Jeff, on that, and it does appear we have a couple of summer school programs. It does appear that we're going to be able to offer some summer school programs via distance learning. So things like our extended school year for students with special needs, that will be conducted via distance learning. There's something called a targeted services summer school program that is really intended to help students who are at risk academically or socially to help continue their development during the summer. It appears that's something that we will be able to continue via distance learning. And we're still looking at our credit recovery program. We do have most of that online, so high school students who need to make up credits, we think there's going to be some opportunity, but we're still working through that. We still don't have all of the details. One of the big things that we're still waiting for is some direction on what will summer child care look like. And so currently, as you know, we're doing our emergency child care for tier one, the children of tier one workers, emergency and healthcare workers. And we're expecting hopefully to get that formal summer school advice or guidance from the state either today or tomorrow. We're waiting for it. These are some of the, it sounds like we're going to be able to do some things via distance learning, but that's the extent of what we know right now.
Once again, we're talking with the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. We're talking about last night. Items discussed last night include the Cannon Valley Special Education Cooperative. You got an update on that. We're a couple of years into that. How did it go?
Yeah, so Jeff, the real update that I gave last night is unfortunately, in fact, former Northfield School District teacher and administrator Lynn Creminga is the current executive director of the cooperative, and she has resigned. She's taken a position as the director of special education in Little Falls, Minnesota. We are all going to miss Lynn. She did a great job. I gave an update that we're going to be interviewing several candidates for that position. The cooperative includes Northfield Public Schools, Faribault, Owatonna, and Medford. We'll be interviewing candidates tomorrow for a new executive director. And then we also talked about the probability that we're going to consolidate those three different programs that are right now in three different buildings into one building beginning in the fall of 2021. The cooperative is looking at leasing a large chunk of the Faribault West Mall. And so I shared with the board last night some tax impact of, so school districts would then use their lease levy authority to be able to help pay for that lease. In Northfield, a $300,000 home, you'd see an increase of $9 for a year. Now, the flip side of that is that we would also save a tremendous amount of operational costs by taking three different sites and consolidating them into one. Obviously, you need to have a lesser number of support personnel when you're in one site than if you're in three. So while there's a little bit of an increase on the lease levy portion, there would also be some savings in each of the school district's general funds that we are using to support some of the cooperative programming. So that was the update. No vote yet. We're just all four districts are still looking at that and anticipating that we'll be moving forward with that very soon.
All right. Superintendent Hillman is with us. What else happened last night?
No, I gave a very brief financial update, Jeff. We're committed to giving a financial update at each of our board meetings, and really this one, I looked at the what the legislature is currently doing as they are finishing their session the next couple of weeks. Of course, this has been disrupted by COVID-19 as well. We talked a little bit about some of the federal funding that we're anticipating coming to the school district through the CARES Act. But we also looked forward because of the, we heard last week, the new financial forecast at the state level, a huge swing from what was projected to be a $1.8 million surplus, you know, to now a multi-billion dollar deficit. And so looking at it, we are starting to model that the legislature will not be able to give us any new money for the next biennium, which will be voted on next winter. You and I have talked before about how the state has, over the last 30 years, has not kept up with inflation on the per pupil basic formula. So anticipating at least 2 years of where we won't get any new money from the state, they fund 70% of our revenue. That obviously has a dramatic impact on every school district in the state. And so just talking about how we have saved, we have more than 16% of our expenditures saved in a fund balance, which our goal is 16%. We talked about how we could strategically use that to lessen the number of reductions. We had planned to do some budget adjustments for the 2020-21 or 21-22 school year anyway, but we know that this is going to exacerbate it. So we talked about some strategies of how to use our fund balance wisely to mitigate any of those reductions until we can get out of the financial fallout from COVID-19. So we're just really trying to live in the moment with some of the short-term financial concerns, but we also have to pay attention to the long-term financial impact, Jeff, and we'll be using the strategies that we've used for years, which from time to time do include budget adjustments. And so we'll be using those tools to make sure we can keep the long-term financial sustainability of the district moving forward.
Superintendent Hillman with us. You also talked about the stormwater maintenance agreement for Greenvale Park Elementary. Not one of the flashiest, I guess, topics there, but also very important.
Yeah, Jeff, just another step forward in our work on the Greenvale Park site. So the board, we discussed this stormwater maintenance agreement at our last meeting in more in depth. And the stormwater maintenance agreement really is that it sets out the set of rules that the school district will follow in conjunction with the city to make sure that we are limiting the kinds of water that's getting into the creek and getting into the street. And it's just, it's the list of different kinds of maintenance things that the school district will be expected to do. And it puts everything in writing so that everyone is clear about it. It's a very standard practice with a lot of new construction. And so I'm pleased to say that the board adopted that last night without any question.
All right. We're about out of time. Anything else you'd like to pass along?
You know, if people want something really fun, head to our district website, northfieldschools.org/construction. And about halfway down the page, you'll see some links to some drone flights that Knutson Construction has done over Greenvale Park and over Sibley to see the site from a higher angle. And I think folks will enjoy that. There's one particular one where they stitched together several drone flights dating back to September when they really first started construction. So that's something that if you need a little diversion today, listeners, head to northfieldschools.org/construction, and you can take a look at those most recent drone flights. They're kind of cool to take a look at, Jeff.
I've got it pulled up here. I was already on the website, so I'm not looking at it, but I will. That sounds interesting. All right.
Yeah, it's fun.
Superintendent Hillman.
Jeff, appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one now. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, joins us every day after, every Tuesday after the Monday night meetings. We've got Tim coming up in just a moment or so. Here's news with MNN.
The Minnesota Special Olympics is in the final week of its virtual games.